I'm Natalie Liu, and you're listening to the Baggage Reclaim Sessions. Hello, hello. How are you doing? When you are in a position where you need to speak up or step up, whether it's to communicate who you are or what you need or what is or isn't okay with you, and your default concern is about hurting feelings or coming across as rude, demanding, dramatic, difficult, too sensitive, burdensome, and anything else you associate with what essentially amounts to representing yourself, you end up acting as if your needs don't matter. You end up acting as if you don't matter. To represent yourself means to show up, speak up, and step up. It means recognizing, acknowledging, and expressing your needs, desires, expectations, feelings, and opinions with respect for yourself and others. I add respect because representing yourself is essentially being assertive instead of passive, passive-aggressive, or aggressive. Something I've stressed to people over the years is that honesty is the truth with respect. This means that when we honestly and authentically represent ourselves, we come from a place of loving, caring, trusting, and respecting ourselves as well as others. I think something that a lot of us as humans misunderstand about showing up, speaking up, and stepping up is thinking that we're only doing it, quote unquote, right if people like and approve of whatever it is that we do. And that if there's a possibility of disapproval, of criticism or conflict, then it must be wrong. And this idea that actually being honest about who we are and taking care of ourselves is a bad thing that hurts other people's feelings. And at the same time, I also think that we misunderstand the representing of ourselves when we think, oh yeah, well, I'm being honest, when actually what we're doing is displacing our feelings and thoughts about something, where we're displacing whatever we're grappling with on the inside and we're projecting it onto others. And then we're calling it honesty when actually what we're doing is being passive aggressive or aggressive. Of course, because of how so many of us have been socialized and conditioned, we are often unaware of the large and small ways in which we hide our needs, desires, expectations, feelings, and opinions. We hide ourselves under the masks and costumes of not just people-pleasing, perfectionism, overgiving, overthinking, and over-responsibility, but also passiveness, passive aggression, and of course, aggression. And these masks and costumes become our identity. We adopt these as the roles we play within our relationships, something I've talked about extensively over the podcasts, but in particular, episode 128. And you can find anything that I mention here in this episode in the show notes at baggagereclaim.co.uk/266. So we take on these identities, we learn to be passive or passive aggressive or aggressive, and we think that this is who we are. We think that this is the way to operate, and it becomes the fabric of our day-to-day lives. And so we are often unaware of the extent to which we hide ourselves just in the way that we show up in the world. We tend to actually operate from a place of trying to control the uncontrollable. And we do things, whether we're aware of it or not, with a hidden agenda. And sure, that agenda might not necessarily be to use or screw someone, but it's often as simple as doing what are often seemingly good things, but for the wrong reasons. So this is where you see the quintessential people-pleasing of trying to influence and control other people's feelings and behavior to avoid conflict, criticism, additional stress, disappointment, loss, rejection, or what we might call as abandonment, or people-pleasing to gain attention, affection, approval, love, and validation. And again, we think that what we're doing is good, even though everything that we're doing is the hiding of ourselves. We're pretending to be something we're not. We're telling people what we think they want to hear if it means that we get to avoid the things that we are afraid of. Imagine you've deprioritized yourself over an extended period, possibly for your entire life. Well, obviously, you're going to be at the back of the queue in your life, because each time you so much as think about representing yourself in any way, something or someone else stops you from moving up the line. And when I say something or someone else, it's not necessarily that something takes place outside of you. It's the thought of something. It's the thought of someone else. It's your awareness of these that stops you in your tracks. It might be that you think about all of the things people expect of you. It could be that picturing a certain someone you fear judgment from immediately stops you in your tracks. Perhaps you're flooded with guilt, anxiety, and or shame just at the thought of considering yourself. It's like, oh my gosh, that'd be just really, really selfish. Like, what kind of monster am I to have even thought about doing that thing? Maybe you become convinced that whatever you need to do is going to hurt someone's feelings or cause conflict, criticism, or abandonment. Deprioritizing yourself and not considering your needs, desires, expectations, feelings, and opinions is a habit. This means that not only is this self-neglect something that you do almost automatically and by default, but each time you attempt to consider yourself, it's going to feel weird, alien, and even threatening. You'll be interrupted by your micromanaging line manager, the inner critic, you know, that critical voice inside you. And between whatever they say, plus the fear that floods your body, it's like, not today, mate. When you're good enough, you'll move to the front of your line. Or it's as if the amygdala, the part of your brain that produces fear, says, what are you trying to do? Get us killed or something? Shh, sit down. What you can learn from your default responses to just the idea of representing yourself is that you have negative associations with this. Your practiced response is to shut yourself down, to water you down, to silence you. But guess what? The default, that's automatic or almost automatic, but it's not accurate. From now on, whenever you think along the lines of you being rude or dramatic or difficult or too sensitive or whatever it is, each time you so much as consider representing your needs, desires, expectations, and so forth, this is now your cue to wake up. It's your cue to get present and be more boundaried. Doing so will interrupt and break the cycle of these habits because you will start to gain awareness of what you're doing and why, instead of operating based on the past, instead of being on autopilot. These thoughts and feelings are your cue to ask, what do I really need here? And where am I about to hurt me with suppression? This way, these feelings and thoughts become your cue to do something, to be conscious, aware, and present. Something to pay attention to, actually, is how much of your bandwidth of your day and week is spent representing yourself. So, when you consider the conversations, the interactions you've had, how you've spent your bandwidth, so your time, energy, effort, and emotions that get summed up as where you've spent your attention, how much of how you've shown up today, over the week, whether it's to yourself or to others, is a true or truer reflection of you. Did people get to interact with the real you? Did you give airtime to your thoughts and feelings? Did you have time to meet your own needs? And newsflash, if you feel as if you don't have time for yourself, as if you don't have time to meet your needs, to cater to your interests, your passions, your priorities, that means that you are not representing yourself. It means that you are caught up in being somebody other than you. Are you being and doing things based on what others expect, not what you want? Have you said yes because it's what you actually truly need and want to do? Or was saying yes based on fear of what would happen if you didn't comply? Let's be clear, it's not about representing yourself perfectly. None of us are perfect and none of us are ever going to be perfect. And I say this to you as a recovering perfectionist who has used the people-pleasing, perfectionism, overgiving, overthinking, and over-responsibility as a way to try to, control everything around me, but also to try to make myself finally good enough, to try to control everything with my efforts so that nobody could try to find fault with me, so that nobody could hurt me or reject me. And if you've been listening to me or reading my stuff for long enough, you will know that that has not worked out very well for me. And that is why I call myself a recovering people pleaser and perfectionist. It's not about representing yourself perfectly. It's about allowing more of you into the open and letting yourself evolve. This is far better than keeping you stuck in the past, in old identities and old stories that are not serving you. If you feel as if you don't have bandwidth left to meet your needs, or you live in near constant fear of hurting or offending someone by even being a little bit more honestly you, you're not repping you enough. You're not representing enough. The person you put out there isn't a fair, healthy, or authentic representation of you. And as a result, not only can you not create and have healthy boundaries to support you, but others won't and don't know your boundaries either. You're not going to become more comfortable about being honestly, authentically, and happily yourself, including knowing what to say yes and no to, if you don't do more reps. So, like with exercise reps, where you do a repetition of a set of exercises that, for instance, build strength, but also builds the habit of exercise, you need to do more reps of expressing who you are and representing yourself. Until you've truly let it all hang out, so until you've really allowed you to be more you, and you've allowed you to consistently be more you over an extended period, even though it runs the risk of conflict or criticism, you just don't have enough data and evidence to support the idea that who you are is wrong, full stop. Now, you might wonder, okay, Natalie, so you're talking about this whole like representing yourself, but what are some of the ways in which I can do that? How can I do more reps? Be direct instead of dropping hints. So instead of going some of the way with what you're trying to say and then waiting for somebody else to pick up the slack and figure it out or mind read, go all the way. Say yes when you really mean yes, and also say no when you need, want to, or should. Acknowledge and express your limits. Consider the impact of things that you're doing and reflect that in your subsequent choices. So whatever you're going to say yes to, in particular, because obviously we say far more yes than we do no, even if it's not directly, you have to pay attention to what is the meaning and consequences. So the impact of me saying yes to this, because a lot of the time how we get lost in the mix, how we end up not representing ourselves, is that we do say yes without considering the meaning and consequences of doing so. And we also run around saying yes to perform at being our idea of what we think is a good person. And so another way that we can more honestly, authentically, and happily represent ourselves is aligning with who we are, not with this image that we're trying to project to people. Other ways, express an idea, make a suggestion. Notice where you're saying, thinking, doing, or feeling something based on someone else's idea of you, and then try to decipher what's true for you. And then see if you can embody that, even in a small way. Align with how you want to feel and continue feeling, and the relationships, things, and opportunities that allow you to feel genuinely good and calm in yourself. So because I am aware of what is true and right for me, and at the center of that is always love, care, trust, and respect, I am aware of the things that lead to me feeling that way, that lead to good feelings in my life, healthy relationships, healthy opportunities, and I follow that. And anything that seems to consistently set off what I call the people pleaser feeling, so the guilt and the overwhelm, the anxiety, the shame, the powerlessness, the hopelessness, the victimization, feeling low, I don't follow that. I look at where I need to start saying no so I can figure out what I can say yes to. Think and act from a place of being the current adult you, not the past. You know, a lot of the time when we're not representing ourselves, we're living up not just to somebody else's idea of us, but to old ideas of ourselves. We're not being honest about who we are. Remember your values and reflect this in who you are and what you want to evolve into. So if you talk about, I don't know, being honest and loyal or creative or spiritual, or you talk about how you value freedom and flexibility, then you need to reflect that in the way that you show up. Cut back on what I call holding and skipping. So that's holding wees or peas, somebody else might call it. It is skipping meals, you know, your breakfast, lunch, and dinner. It's skipping breaks. It's skipping sleep. These seemingly small acts that have big repercussions over time are really metaphors for the way in which you treat yourself. So if you do a lot of holding and skipping, these show you where you are neglecting yourself, where you're not even allowing you to fulfill basic needs because you're treating yourself like the Energizer Bunny. And if you do have this whole thing of treating yourself like a machine, of just pushing, of not respecting your limits, of not knowing your bandwidth, then I really recommend that you check out the episodes on bandwidth, which I think are episodes 100 and 158. Notice where you slipped into playing the typical role that you have within your relationships. For example, scapegoat, listener, good guy, good girl, fixer, helper, healer, savior, the bad one, the strong one. Identify what you would be, do, say, or have if you weren't catering to this identity, and then gradually do more of whatever it is you've identified. Ask yourself when you get up in the mornings, or maybe before you go to bed, how am I doing today? This helps you to really connect with you and how you're feeling, instead of you running on autopilot, unaware of what's accumulating behind the scenes. Be more honest with yourself about how you feel. It's a good starting place. Often we think, oh, well, I'll just run around and start trying to be more honest with others. And that, I'm not knocking that. However, we often run to do that without actually giving ourselves a chance to be honest with ourselves. And it's like when we give ourselves permission to feel our feelings, to think our thoughts, to acknowledge our needs, desires, and expectations, then we give ourselves permission to be more honest about who we are and to reflect that in how we show up. Stop pretending that you're not annoyed about something. Be honest about that. Because you know what? The sooner you stop pretending is the sooner that those feelings start to move on and you have boundaries that actually reflect what you've learned as a result of that experience. Notice anything that makes you feel genuinely good about yourself, that sparks curiosity, sparks joy, sparks the sense of lightness, that, yeah, even reminds you of being this inquisitive kid that used to allow themselves to do more. And then follow that. Ask for help. Before you agree with what someone else said or what they want, check in with yourself. Do I actually agree with them? What do I want? What's true for me? Notice where you're acting differently from how you feel on the inside. Admit where you're finding something difficult. Express a need. Meet a need. These are suggestions, not an exhaustive list. Essentially, when you're representing yourself, you're factoring your needs, desires, expectations, feelings, and opinions into how you show up in the world instead of acting like you're a needless person who has to suppress and repress themselves. I want to stress, don't overcomplicate things. Something I stressed about boundaries is that you are not starting from scratch. And it's because some of my most frequently asked questions are, how do I go about meeting needs? Or, okay, so like, how do I create my first boundary? No, you already have boundaries. You're just being more conscious and intentional in the creation of them. It's also that boundaries and needs actually are about more than saying no, or as some people misconstrue, telling others what to do. Your boundaries are the manifestation, the embodiment of how you show up in the world. So everything you do is a communication of who you are, which is your boundaries. So whatever it is that you say yes, no, and maybe to, however you interact, you are the expression of your boundaries. Your boundaries are you. Similarly, you are already representing yourself, but doing more reps means that you are being intentional and mindful about this instead of using outdated and harmful patterns as a stand-in for the real you. By allowing your needs, expectations, desires, feelings, and opinions to breathe, to be a part of your life, people get a truer, more boundaried picture of you. And that can only be a good thing, not just for yourself, but also for your interpersonal relationships. Give yourself permission to represent yourself. Do more reps. You're only going to build up how much you represent you each day and over time by representing you in small ways every day and building up from there. And you know what? Some days you're going to win, some days you're going to lose, but it will all add up if you're consistently striving to represent you, if you're consistently striving to do more reps. It's pushing through the resistance, recognizing fear when it shows up, as it does tend to, because that's the nature of being human. It's checking in with you about what's true and right for you, and it's having a go at repping yourself anyway, even though, yes, there's going to be a possibility of conflict and criticism. But it is through these experiences that you really get to see who you really are, and you get to feel as if you're somebody that you can rely on. And ultimately, each day is a new opportunity to try again, to try to be even a little bit more you. Thank you so much for listening. See you next time, and take care of you. Thanks so much for listening to the Baggage Reclaim Sessions. If you'd like to say hi, or you want to let me know what you thought of an episode or of the show in general, or you'd like to suggest a topic, the best place to get a hold of me is on Instagram. I'm @NatLue. That's NatLue. You can find links to it and my other social channels in the show notes at baggagereclaim.co.uk/266. There is a full list of episodes at baggagereclaim.co.uk/podcast. And if you've enjoyed the show and you haven't done so already, I would love it if you could subscribe in whichever podcast player that you're listening in. And if you could take another moment to rate and review the show, that would also be fab, because it all helps with spreading the word. The Baggage Reclaim Sessions doesn't feature external advertising. So if you're enjoying what I share on here and you'd like to support, you can do so by checking out the blog. I have classes, I have courses, and I've also got my books and audio series. And you can find all of these on the main website at baggagereclaim.co.uk or .com. The Baggage Reclaim Sessions is produced and edited by me, your host, Natalie Liu. And the theme music is by my little brother, Sean Hall, or Sean-O, as I like to call him.